Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery, empowering women to overcome midlife crisis by rewiring the subconscious mind. Feeling overwhelmed, disillusioned, stuck? We all have. Here we explore inspiration and empowerment to navigate through the tough times and move to a place where hearts soar, minds manifest, and bodies heal. Welcome, everyone. Today we have Magic Barclay. Life has not been easy, but she has empowered herself with knowledge. From cancer, Lyme disease, stroke, diabetes, heart attack, and hypoxia, Magic is now a master of healing the root cause. Welcome, Magic.
Thanks for having me, Jane. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. And I wanted to dive right in because your response when I asked, have you had a crisis and how could you speak to people about it? You're like, oh, those are my people because we've all been there. And I thought maybe you could share some of yourself, cancer, Lyme disease, heart attack. That was a physical example of a crisis, but then you empowered yourself and that's the magic in it. So can you share some of your story, hon?
Sure. So the physical representation of my midlife crisis was the last shoe to drop in the equation. But there'd been several years of me losing my sense of self. I didn't know who I was, didn't know what I stood for, nasty divorce, having to move towns, start again, like every kind of crisis that could be thrown at me between the ages of 40 and 50 was. And then the cancer and everything else happened. So for me, I used to explain my life. I don't know if you have them in the US, but in Australia, we have those kids' toys. They're like inflatable clowns and you punch them and they fall over, but they bounce back up. That's what I felt like. I felt every punch I took, I had to bounce back up, but I wasn't actually feeling the bounce back up. I knew I was doing it and I knew I had to. There wasn't that, I guess, internal empowerment to do that. And this is what I want to share with your listeners today. That internal empowerment is key because you can bounce back and bounce back, but you're bouncing back empty and vacuous. And if you still don't know who you are, what you stand for, what's important, the bounce backs, they don't mean as much. So we can all bounce back, but we have to do that with our power. And that is something I had lost for a couple of decades. That was really important, going and searching for who am I, what do I stand for. Once I learned that, the bounce backs were more meaningful and they were more long lasting. There was less times that I would get knocked down because I had that internal strength. So that's just a clarification I wanted to make there.
Yeah, and that resiliency, that's so important. And I like how you said that came first and then the disease, right? Because often the disease is a reflection of the turmoil inside.
Totally. Here I was quite traditional with my ideas on marriage. My marriage had disintegrated. It had become, he said, she abusing everyone else kind of situation for years. It was never a true marriage. And so I was grappling with, I screwed up marriage. How could I do that? And I had two kids in tow. So now I've screwed up their lives. How could I do that? I came from a divorced family and I know how awful that was for me. And here I was doing it to my kids. And through all of this, I was worried about what people thought, about what my kids thought. And don't get me wrong, they are my life. I adore my boys. But I never worried about what I thought. And so the guilt I had leaving this horrible marriage ate me up. And so I punished myself and I punished myself emotionally, punished myself with food, I punished myself physically. I didn't have, I guess, the bandwidth to look deep and say, it's okay to walk away from this because it's not serving me, it's not serving him, it's not serving the kids, it's not serving our families, it's not serving our friends. This is okay because I'm important. And if I'm important enough, all those people that this is affecting will not only understand me, but support me. And that was a pivotal moment when I got that realization, I matter here. It's not just my guilt of a failed marriage. It's my understanding and my respect for myself. So I had to find that positive and made the transition a lot easier after a fair bit of me beating myself up about it.
Because it's tough. But that pivotal moment was deciding that you were worth it, that you needed to change and that you mattered.
Totally. I think a lot of women really struggle with that. And when I was talking to a whole lot of people after the whole scenario had petered out, a lot of people were saying to me, particularly women, were saying, yeah, I've been there. I felt that. And I was worried about what everyone would think. And I was worried about how my kids were going to take it. And I said, yep, I think we do that. We put ourselves last. And once you have that internal drive, that internal power to put yourself first, the world changes for you and decisions are a lot easier, actions are a lot easier, and then results are a lot easier.
Yeah. On an airplane, we're reminded of how important it is to put your life, your breathing mask on first so you can help others. And we forget that as parents, as mothers, as caregivers, how important that is.
Exactly. And I'm so glad that you just raised that because I say this on my podcast and a lot. I have a dirty little secret, right? And that is I would take my kids on a plane and that safety message would come on and I would get angry. That's my dirty little secret. Why would I get angry? Because I thought, the hell, I'm putting that thing on myself first. My kids are so important. It didn't take me till I had this light bulb moment of I matter that I went, oh, I get it now. If I don't have the mask on, I'll be dead. I can't help them.
Right.
It was years of me seething in the aeroplane seat, just going, the hell, I'm putting that on myself first. My kids are the world. So I think we really have to step back and say, if I'm not here, how do all the people that rely on me cope?
Yeah.
So therefore, I must be here and I must be well and I must be safe and I must be content. I'm not going to say happy because everyone's kind of version of happy is different, but content. And I must nurture myself. And if you don't do that, then no one else is happy.
Can you talk about some of the programming that makes us feel like we're selfish if we don't do that?
Definitely. I come from the 70s and 80s. That was a great time in life. But there was a whole lot of when you're a wife, you must be of service. When you're a mother, you must be of service. As a daughter, I must be of service. And there was a whole lot of that programming going on. Now, the 80s was the time of women really starting to step into their own, but there was still this struggle. I mustn't be too loud when I'm out at the club. I mustn't be too obnoxious. What if I offend people? You know, what if people call me a name? Or I mustn't go up to that cute guy at the bar because he needs to make the first move. So there was this kind of struggle in society, and a lot of us who were raised in that time had that internal struggle going on. I want to be, you know, I wouldn't say a feminist, but I want to be in charge of my own life. But what if I'm too loud? What if I'm too out there? What if I'm too outspoken? What if people don't like me? And then shortly after that, social media came to the fore, and it was, we all started leading our Instagram lives, as we call it. I can't just put, I've had a shitty day and I stubbed my toe and I haven't brushed my hair for 2 days because I don't feel like it and I'm in a stained T-shirt. You're not going to put that up. What you are going to put up is a beautiful photo of you smiling and your hair's tidy and, look, this is what I did today. And the reality is, before that photo was taken, you hadn't brushed your hair for 2 days. You were in a stained T-shirt. You were living your life and you were okay. Why don't we show that to people? That's the evolution that I've seen in my lifetime, going from I can be empowered as a woman, but should I be? And then going into the, oh, now I need to show them my Instagram life. And many people that know me well, no, I will put anything on social media that I feel like. And I broke my toe a few weeks ago and I put that up and I went, this sucks. Broke my toe. That's my Instagram life because it's real life. People are like, oh, you should be more careful. I'm like, yeah, do you know what? It was a stupid mistake. I knew what I was doing and I wasn't careful enough and this is the result and it is what it is. And I have an ugly big toe at the moment. And people are like, but you do so much nice stuff. Why don't you post that? Because that's not my life. My life is I break my toe.
It's so refreshing to just know that we're all in the same boat and we all have broken toes and stained t-shirts.
Exactly. Do you know what, ladies out there? If you don't brush your hair for a couple of days, the world's not going to end. You'll have knots a couple of days later that might be a bit of a pain to get out, but no one's world will come crashing down. But if you don't get out of your PJs for a couple of days because you just feel like chilling out, it's a weekend, you don't want to go anywhere, do anything, why should you? Just live your life how it makes you happy. Obviously, don't go out there hurting other people because that would make you an idiot, but live your life as it makes you happy. You don't have to impress anyone but yourself.
Yeah, so true. So magic, where was the magic when you dug deep enough to decide you were going to empower yourself enough to heal?
The magic for me was stepping away from symptom chasing. And a lot of medical models, not just allopathic, but also in some areas of naturopathy and energetic medicine, there's a lot of people that symptom chase. We've been raised to think that's okay. Cut myself, put a Band-Aid on it. Got a headache? Take some aspirin. Not feeling well in the tummy? Take some reflux meds. So we've been raised with this. So once I got out of symptom chasing and I went after root cause, what caused my cancer? What caused my diabetes? What caused my heart attack? And I started going after that, my world changed. And so that's what I do with people. I go after root cause. They might say, hey, my hair's thinning. I want to do something about it. I go, look, yes, I get it. That's what you want, but this is what you need. So there's a very big difference. And things like Ayurvedic medicine treat root cause. Things like traditional Chinese medicine sometimes treat root cause. And functional health that I do treats root cause. So I think we have to get out of this symptom chasing belief system because whack one symptom, it's like playing whack-a-mole. Another two or three will pop up in seconds. Right. So, you know, you don't want to keep expending your energy doing that. You want to get to what caused all these problems. And that can be physical health. That can be emotional health. Like I said, for me, my root cause was lack of sense of self with my emotional health. So I treated that. Now I really don't care if people don't like me. It's none of my business. I used to really worry about it. Now I'm like, if you don't like me, I'm pretty awesome. So that's your problem, not mine. Because I like me and that's what matters. And so with my health, I had to look at why were my hormones not playing the game? What was my immune system doing? What was my gut health like? I had to really go deep and treat those things. Once I did, that's when things started turning around.
So I totally agree. Just wow and good job. Amazing. How did you address the lack of sense of self? Because that can be very deep and programmed in right from the time we're children. And often we don't even know about the programming that exists in it. So it just keeps popping back up. How did you get deep enough to really cure that?
Great question. Well, for me, I had to look at my life from as early as I could remember. And I had to look at that programming. That was a really big part. So I had a lot of ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, and ACEs, adverse childhood relationship experiences. And so as a child, I was 5 years younger than my older brother. Family divorced when I was 3. The parents couldn't get their shit together. Sorry, but they couldn't. And so they used us as like ammunition against the other one. And so I saw that and I went, none of that is my fault. And then I saw that I had to be my brother's protector. So all of a sudden, I wasn't me anymore. I was his protector. Then I had to be the dutiful niece and the dutiful daughter and the dutiful sister. And no one ever said, it's okay to be you. It's okay to have your feelings. It's okay to have your experiences. It was always, you must do this for someone else or for something else or work towards this goal at school. It was never, what do you want to do? What makes you happy? It was, do this to get here, to do that, because that will make someone happy. And so for me, there was all that early programming. So I really had to learn how to detach my limbic system from what had happened early and then really look at the self-hatred that I had in my teens and early 20s and go, do you know what? I hated myself for no reason. I hated myself because I didn't match myself up to what I saw in magazines of glamorous women. I hated myself because I was seeking the wrong partners. And so I was making that mean to me that I am unlovable, I'm unworthy, I'm this, I'm that, the list could go on. But what I was doing was I was seeking emotionally unavailable partners. So that was me. That was the root cause. I was doing that because I had no sense of self. So it was really looking through all that. And then that all culminated with the end of my marriage. And I went, oh, I never really loved him. I don't think he ever really loved me. Okay, why did I jump into that relationship? I looked at the reasons and I was doing things to piss someone off in my family. I did that, but it hurt me. I was doing things to go against what people told me. I did that, but it hurt me. So why was I feeling so unworthy that I needed to do that? And that was a really big turnaround. And then when my health all came crashing down, it was like, who am I? If I was to die tomorrow, what would be on my headstone? Would I even have a headstone? Or would I get sprinkled somewhere in the bush? I didn't even know what I wanted in my final moments. So how could I work out what I wanted and deserved in the previous nearly 50 years? For me, the lack of sense of self was a recurring theme. It wasn't until I had that light bulb moment that I matter, that things started turning around.
Yeah. And so it was just realizing that it wasn't your fault. Like all those, that lack of self was just programming. And then the rebellious side of you is just angry about it, but then you end up hurting yourself.
I know, right? That makes sense, doesn't it? Not. Right?
Yeah. Don't you wish you could be the age you are now and just relive those teenage years and your 20s?
Look, if I could go back in time, I would go back to 3 when my parents got divorced. And I would go, do you know what, kid? This has got nothing to do with you. It's not your problem.
Yeah.
Move on. You want to go climb that tree, play in the dirt? Do it. You want to play with worms in the garden? Do it. It doesn't matter what they think, what they say. Just do you want to find a guy that truly loves you? It doesn't mean you have to hook up with 10 others to try and find him. Value yourself. You are worth something.
Yeah.
And if I could go back in time, like I said, that's what I would do. I would take that little girl and just go, you don't have to punish yourself to make other people happy.
Exactly. But here we are. And so you did a lot of reprogramming in a way, and now you're helping others. Do you feel like that is a purpose, that all that pain actually paid off in the end? Because you have to understand what people are going through as well to really help them.
Yeah, totally. Look, you know what? I hate these practitioners out there that try and tell you how to do your life, but they've never had a problem of their own. It's really, walk a mile in your shoes. My shoes are well and truly worn. Let me just say that. I've walked many miles. And I think that has made me stronger. It's made me wiser. And it's made me to really able to comprehend the gravity of people's situations. I think it's really given me that spiritual and emotional health that I was missing for so many years. And so helping other people not only helps them, but it helps me. And I love their success because then I go, wow, I helped that person. That's so cool. And it never gets old. When someone sends me a review or a comment or whatever, I'm like, I love that. That's so good. I love that for you, but I'm also loving that for me because now I'm fulfilling my purpose.
Yeah, and it just fills you up and you're so much stronger.
Totally. And that inner strength is okay. So for all the people out there that do things for other people, it's okay to feel really good about yourself. A lot of practitioners and caregivers out there that do things for other people to do things for other people. But it's okay to do it for you too. It's okay to be proud of your achievements. It's okay to go, wow, this client did that. I'm so awesome because I helped them there. Why do we feel guilty about that? Really embrace it and just go, that is
very. So I want you to explain, what is the PNE of trauma?
Okay, so it's the PNEI, and it's the psychoneuroendoimmunology of trauma. And I can only really describe it like this, okay? Imagine you have to give a talk to 35,000 people, all right? The thing that goes through your brain is, oh, wow, that's a lot of people. I've never done that before. Maybe I won't be feeling very safe. I'm not worthy to do that. What would I know? So all these thoughts go through. That's your limbic system in your brain. It's the central part of your brain. And it's reacting to other parts of the brain saying that's not a safe situation. So you make it mean something. So that's the P, the psycho. The limbic system has jumped in, gone 35,000 people in an auditorium. No way. You're not safe. Don't do it. Why should you do this? How much do you know? Why you? There's all this stuff. The I'm not worthy, the I don't matters, they all come up there. Now, that doesn't stop you, right? It's laid down the track work. So what then happens is your nervous system comes in. That's the N, the neuro. And it says the P, the psycho, said not safe. This is not a good situation. You didn't listen. So now I'm going to let you know. So all of a sudden you start getting nerve pain. You might get a headache, you might start getting a migraine, you might all of a sudden get sciatica or tingly fingers, numbness in the fingers, and you think, oh, that's okay. That'll go away before the talk. So the nervous system's tried to tell you you're not safe because the limbic system tried to tell you you're not safe, but you power on. So then all of a sudden you start to feel, you're writing your talk and you start to feel hot and clammy and sweaty, and you might feel a bit dizzy or nauseous. That's the E, that's the endo. Your endocrine system's now kicking in saying the thoughts that you had told you weren't safe. The nerve pain I gave you told you weren't safe. So now here's some hormonal disruption because you're not safe talking to 35,000 people. But you ignore that. You keep writing the speech. Gets closer and closer to the day. In fact, it is the day. Okay, you've got your speech written. You've got this whole I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough thing going on. Got a bit of aches and pains from the nervous system, still feeling a bit dizzy and woozy and sweaty from the endocrine system. But you wake up that morning and your nose is running or you've lost your voice. And so you've got laryngitis all of a sudden, or bronchitis, you can't breathe, or you feel like you've got a cold or the flu. And this is your immune system. This is the I. And this is coming in saying, you didn't listen to the P, the N, or the E. Now I need to keep you safe. So guess what? You're going to feel like crap. Do you really want to do that talk to 35,000 people? Because I'm going to make you feel crap. Now, if you comprehend the way these systems are working and you do some work and you go, do you know what? Before I go on stage, I need to tell myself this. I am perfectly safe. I've got this. I am so capable of doing this. I am pain-free. And do you know what? I'm going to mist myself with some essential oils and really calm down my endocrine system. I've got this. You'd be surprised. The runny nose goes away. Your voice comes back. And so the immune system goes, oh, I get it. You are safe. You do know what you're doing. All right, go for it. You not walk on stage. You knock out this talk. 35,000 people are clapping and cheering and you're healthy and well. Because the PNEI is so strong, it wants you to be safe. Now, when we relate that to trauma, specifically childhood trauma, you know, something might happen when you're 3, 4, 5 and you make that mean something. So when something happens again or you smell something from your childhood again, all of this system trigger starts again. So the P says, you're not safe. Why are you doing that? You're still a damaged four-year-old or whatever. The N comes in, you might get some pain. Then the E comes in, all of a sudden you get all hot and sweaty and I don't know what it is. I walk past a smell or someone said something and all of a sudden I feel crappy. And then the I comes in and your immune system responds. And it can be something as simple as, like I said, a smell, a word, a sound, a place that you've driven through before. It could be anything that triggers that.
Yeah, you're talking my language. And we can be so oblivious to the trigger. We have no idea why we're suddenly in this state that we've tried to get ourselves out of so many times. And yet that smell takes us right back to this unsafe place.
Exactly. But it can work for the positive as well. So, you know, something I often talk about is the smell of dill. Now, when I smell dill, I don't think I'm smelling a herb. I am automatically back in my nana's kitchen, standing on a step stool, making pickled cucumbers with her. That was four last time we did that. But every time I smell dill, I feel her hugs, I feel her presence, I feel that moment in her kitchen where the outside world didn't matter. I was in a moment of complete tranquility and love with someone that I adored who adored me. And it's just the smell of dill that does that. We can do this with the positive, but it's really understanding that no system in the body works alone. And particularly with trauma, it's not a matter of that happened then, get over it, move on. It's really how has that affected me and what are the systems of my body trying to do about it?
Exactly. And I often try to tell people that, sure, we have the positive as well, and you can use that to reinforce, say you are going to speak and you just take that smell of dill. But it's the negative triggers that eventually affect our physical because they trigger the whole limbic system and, like you said, the whole endocrine nervous system. And eventually they give a trigger or a signal that our blood pressure should go up and our heart should beat faster. And eventually it results in a disease down the road. So they're the ones that we really need to pay attention to in order to change, but be aware of the good ones too, right?
Totally. So it's the bad ones that damage you. It's the good ones that will help you heal. So be aware of both. Don't just say X happens, so therefore Y is the result, and then Z means I'm stuck there. It's not the way it is. X happened. Y might have been the temporary result, but Z is what you do about it. And so really knowing that this system or collection of systems work together is super important.
Yes, and not just for mental health, for our physical health as well, that to know that they're connected.
Exactly.
How do you explain autoimmune disease? Because it is an attack on ourselves, isn't it?
It is. So, well, it isn't. We've been conditioned to think autoimmune is the body attacking itself. It really isn't. What it's doing is it's attacking a perceived threat. So it could be a pathogen, it could be some sort of infection, could be a broken barrier system. Autoimmune is a representation of the immune system being stuck in a certain response. Now, the immune system is supposed to be quite fluid and jump in and out of different immune types. But if you get stuck in any of those, it's not good. And that's where we see autoimmune. So you can have autoimmune that might look like MS or Parkinson's or Alzheimer's. You might have autoimmune that looks like a lymphedema response or a lipolymphedema response. You might have autoimmune that looks like premature aging or hair falling out. You might have psoriasis. There's so many different autoimmune conditions. They're not really the body attacking itself. It's a stuck response to a threat. Like I said, the threat could be an infection or a pathogen. It could be a broken barrier, such as a leaky gut lining or a leaky brain. It could be a number of things. And the body wants you, again, to be safe and to be whole and to be well. Sometimes how it goes about that doesn't make sense to us, but there's always a root.
And do you find it can loop back to a thought like we were talking about before?
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's a stuck response. So it can be a stuck thought, a loop as well.
Yes, definitely. We put ourselves on repeat with these things. So we say allergies, for example, okay? I'm allergic to fish. So I've told myself that because I've had that response before. My immune system's going to jump in and out and make changes. I might not actually be truly allergic to fish. I may be, but I might not be. But the whole overarching thought of I'm allergic to fish is going to stop me from even working it out. We do that with our bodies all the time. We say, I've got autoimmune, it's my body attacking itself, that's what everyone told me, so therefore I'm stuck with it. But if we look at what actually triggered that autoimmune response, we look at where our immune type is sitting, why it's there, what started that, what that root cause is, then we're really looking at, am I truly allergic to fish, or is that a response because when I was 7, I ate fish and I had a reaction because my immune system wasn't happy. We have to look at the bigger picture here.
Yeah. And it's very individual, isn't it?
It is. There's no one size fits all. And we have to realize that every single person is different. Even twins, one can have allergies and one might not. One might be overweight and one might not be. Well, they've got the same DNA profile. So how can they be so different?
Yeah. So how much do you like pure diagnosis, medical diagnosis?
I don't, to be honest. Do you know what? It's handy getting the diagnosis because it gives you somewhere to start digging, somewhere to start looking. What it's not good for is living in that state. So I see many people come to my practice and they've got multiple diagnoses. Well, they're just labels. They're just names given to things. Their names given to a collection of symptoms, their names given to a collection of responses, but it's not what you are. So diabetes, for example, it's a diagnosis, it's a label, it's a name. Does that mean that's what you are? No. That's how your body's responding, what started it, what was the root cause, what was the trigger, because you can turn a lot of these things around. And when you live in the diagnosis, you say, I'm a diabetic, it's pretty much a full stop. It's like end of sentence, statement made, that's it. Don't talk to me about it again. But what caused it?
Yeah. And the thing that it bothers me about diagnosis too is that it puts us into a fear loop, which again raises all those stress factors in our body. And it's hard to get past it if you're stuck in that.
Yes, totally. So what we do is once we get a diagnosis, we stop looking. Mm-hmm. We go, okay, I'm diabetic. It means I've got to be on medication. All right. Why is that okay? Why is that where you're stopping looking? We live in these labels. And I have people come to me and they've worked with a doctor or they've worked with a naturopath or whatever, and they'll say, oh, and I've got this label and that and this and that. And I'm like, okay, but who are you? Tell me about you. And they're like, no, but I'm here about these conditions. Okay, I get that. But first, I need to know who you are. And now I need to know your history. And I need to know a whole lot of stuff because I'm not going to treat that label. I'm going to treat what started it, what I find in your history. And I'm going to treat you as a person, not as that label. I think we really have to detach from that because it can be quite dangerous because we stop taking care of ourselves. We just accept this new label.
Exactly. And, you know, what I love, I've studied homeopathy for years as well. And when we look at someone with a homeopathic point of view, you're looking how they're expressing the symptoms, the pain, very precisely and very individual too, and then looking at the mental emotional picture as well. So we're just talking the same language, just coming down different lanes. I love what you're saying, magic.
Thanks. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to sound like a broken record. I really am. If we don't look at ourselves, what we mean to ourselves, if we don't look at the root cause of our illness, what started things, we're going to miss so much in the equation. And we can apply that to any part of our lives.
Exactly. So in just wrapping up, I wanted you to reinforce how important it is to find like your soul purpose, right? Your reason for being here, which gives you that drive to heal and find your inner happiness.
Definitely. There is a reason why you are on Earth. It might take quite a while to work that out, but once you do, your world's going to open up. My reason for being on Earth is to be a custodian of the land. It is to nurture animals. I live in Australia, so we have a lot of fantastic native animals. It is to raise my two sons so that they are good, decent people. Doesn't matter what they do with their lives. As long as they're good, decent people, that matters. And as long as they love themselves, that matters. And I'm here to say to myself, I'm here and I'm awesome and that's okay. And for all the listeners out there, work out why you're here and live that moment, live that purpose, because your life will change when you realize that you don't have to be doing other things for everyone else all the time. It's okay to do things for you. Now, I mentioned I'm here to raise my two sons to be decent, good human beings. That might sound like I'm here to be a mum. I'm not. I get joy from watching them being decent human beings. So I'm fulfilling my own cup by having two really cool kids. It's different to I'm a mum. So really look at how you drive what's going on in your life and what it means to you.
Beautiful. Love it. Thank you so much, Magic. And how do people find out more about you or what you're teaching?
It's my pleasure. And people can find us at www.holisticnaturalhealth.com.au. We are based in Australia, and that's holistic with a W. And there you'll find blogs, you'll find our podcast, you'll find articles, you'll find our free consultation, our root cause analysis. You'll find links to all of our socials. And we run competitions and all sorts of really good stuff. You'll find our newly released shop there. So we make essential oil blends for people. And just jump on, have a look around, shoot us a message, say that you heard me on this podcast, and we'll look after you.
Thank you so much. What an inspiration and so much inner power there.
Thank you. It's taken me years, but I've got it and I love it.
And remember, don't give away your power to anyone else. Be the creator of your own life. You can find more inspiring episodes on 14 different platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, and empoweredhealth.com. Spiral up, spiral out.